Hi, this is Laura with Food Freedom Radio, and you are listening to the 4 o'clock repartee, which kind of like means conversation between people or something. Repartee? Something like that.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Brett Johnson hosting today's show. Well, one of the topics that you've been hearing Hunter and I talk about for a number of months here on the program is the lack of affordable housing, not just in the Twin Cities, but around the entire state and even, to be quite honest, the entire country. So we've talked about this for a while, and we figure, well, we got to bring on an expert on finding affordable housing and making it, well, more livable for people to find. And we are happy to be joined now by Chip Halbach. He is the former executive director and founder of the Minnesota Housing Partnership. Hey, Chip, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Well, thanks for the invitation, Brett.
Yeah, very important topic as we will head into 2020, because what's really struck me, Chip, is that during these four Democratic presidential debates, we've had no questions on affordable housing. And for me, this is a huge issue because I lived in an apartment prior to just moving to a new place that had rent, I think, overall increased by about 30% over a five-year period. Hunters run into that same situation. I have friends who have had to move back with parents, and yet we're not really seeing this talked about as much in the national and even the local conversation as it probably should be talked about.
Absolutely. And I guess the other side of that coin is at least it's being hinted at, and the particularly on the Democratic side, the candidates or the leading candidates are beginning, if not on the televised debates, at least in their policy positions, they are beginning to put forward some pretty aggressive housing plans.
Yeah, we are starting to see that at least, and it is more of a conversation than we've seen in previous years, but it's something that I think is going to be one of the big economic issues over the next few years. And I want to move along to this insane stat that the Pioneer Press put out a few days ago, and that is you basically, if you make less than $30,000 a year, there are no vacancies for apartments. Now, granted, there are, of course, apartments that you can get if you make less than $30,000 a year, but there's no vacancies. And, Chip, that makes it really tough if you're lower middle class to find somewhere to live in St. Paul or even Minneapolis, because I believe they're in a similar situation as well, where if you make less than $30,000 a year, you essentially won't be able to find any vacancies.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's for people at the lower end of the income spectrum, it's an emergency situation. And I think if we look statewide, there's for that income class, there's some 130,000 households that would fit that, whereas renter households, whereas there's only about 60-some thousand apartments that are occupied by people with those incomes. So what you have as a result of that is many, many, many lower-income workers, retirees, and others paying well over 50% of their income for housing, which is not a sustainable situation.
And the stereotype we often hear is that, well, these are just people on Section 8 who are sitting at home and giving government benefits. But as I'm sure you have experienced being the executive director of the Minnesota Housing Partnership, the majority, if not all of these people, are actually working. They have full-time jobs, but they're just not able to keep up with the rent as it continues to skyrocket over the past few months and years.
Yes, the vast majority of the people that are now accessing publicly subsidized housing, including Section 8 certificates, are either working, are senior citizens, retired, or have some sort of physical or mental handicap. It's a stereotype that doesn't help things to say that people are just sitting around collecting government subsidies. Now, these are people out there that either cannot, because of age or disability, bring in the needed income, or are just doing what they can with the jobs that are out there to raise whatever funds that they're able to bring in.
So this issue has certainly been highlighted over the past few years. Is this something that's just popped up over the past decade, maybe since the Great Recession? Or is this something that's been happening even beyond the past decade or so, but now it's finally getting the attention it deserves?
Well, it's a little of both, Brett. I've been paying attention to the housing scene here in Minnesota a little over 40 years. So I've seen hardship from way back when. But since the recession, I think a couple of things have gone on. One is that the there was a real slowdown in construction, particularly apartment construction, during and just after the recession. So you've had an expanding population and people with lower incomes. That population is growing, whereas the available housing is not anywhere near keeping up. And so you, since that recession, we've had incomes that have just basically kept pace with inflation, whereas rents have increased about 12-13%. So you have a greater squeeze going on, as well as in what is definitely connected with that squeeze is the super low vacancy rate that we have had since the recession and continue to this day.
Why has there been such a lack of affordable housing? Is it landlords that are now shying away from building these affordable housing units? Of course, I've seen the rise of these so-called luxury apartments. Is it that they're more apt to try to build those instead of affordable housing units? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's expensive to acquire land and build housing and go through the processes and and conform with all the regulations and that protect safety and health and community. And so it's not something that's done easily. And if as investors sort of put forward their funds to create new housing, they will want as much return on that high-risk investment as they can get. And also then, at the same time, we've had the largest growing population of renters has been higher income renter population, in part because of the rules that have basically minimized condominium and just a general greater interest in people living in higher density areas close to downtown, uptown, that sort of thing. So you really have a industry, rental housing industry that is producing what it can, but without government subsidy in there to offset the risk-reward equation to make it more valuable for the developers to produce housing that with lower rents, you're just not seeing that type of production.
Yeah, exactly.
Statistic that I want to make sure convey to your listeners is something that the Metropolitan Council put out. This would be just, of course, for the Twin Cities area. Earlier in this year, calendar 2019, they said that there were 7 new jobs being produced in the Twin Cities area for every new housing unit. So that is another thing going on here post-recession, is that the economy is doing pretty well in terms of producing jobs, bringing people and households into the metro area, but not doing nearly as well in terms of producing the housing for those households to live in. And of course, you're going to then get those with greater economic means to be the ones that are getting the available housing.
You were talking about possibly some of the answers could be subsidizing and giving builders incentives to build more affordable housing units. And of course, this problem is only going to get worse, especially in rural areas. We've talked about on earlier programs, the Section 515 USDA rural rental housing and the number of those units that are no longer going to be on that program in the coming decades. What exactly do we need to do, at least from the government aspect, to incentivize builders to actually build homes that people can afford?
Well, the primary incentive.
I know it's a loaded question, obviously.
Yeah,
but
yeah. The primary incentive for the builders is just the funding to so that they find affordable housing development as profitable as other types of development. And that's a pretty big funding gap. But you know, fortunately, there's a good community of developers here, both nonprofit and for-profit, and some public agency developers too, such as the Dakota County Community Development Agency, so that if there were greater funds, you would find production increase markedly. So that is the biggest barrier. Then beyond that, it's people are experimenting with government rules that allow greater density. Minneapolis just went through a controversial planning change that allow up to 3 units in any formerly single family zoned area. On the zoning side, it's making either a land that's available for higher density development, such as along transportation corridors, or allowing accessory dwelling units, that's an added apartment that someone could create in connection with a single family home, or to actually take formerly single family lot and put in up to 3 apartments. So all of that on the regulatory side helps too, but I just have to go back to saying the funding is the key issue here.
And that was part one of our interview with Chip Halbach talking about affordable housing in Minnesota. As you can probably tell, we are unfortunately up against the clock, so we'll play part two of our interview with Chip at a later date. Coming up tomorrow on the Repartee, it's another one of our solutions shows, as we're going to be talking about, a couple of solutions that I've thought of, including how we can reframe the minimum wage debate, and then also how we can get better Democratic representation in the U.S. Senate. We'll take your phone calls and solutions as well, so tune into the Solutions Show on the Repartee tomorrow.